Blog Talk Radio.
It's DW back for another edition of Inside the War Room. It is 11:01 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for joining me here live on Blog Talk Radio this evening for the 24th edition of Inside the War Room. Tonight, we will be joined by special guest Jimmy Logan Simpson of Hardin-Simpson University, wide receiver who plays very aggressive. He's got great hands. He plays in the slot. He holds return value and is a special teams player. He runs great routes, and he shows a nice pair of hands, and he's a leader in the locker room, which NFL executives like when they're doing the evaluation process. He's well-respected teammates, and he does everything really well, and he's 5'9", 190 pounds. Follow him on his journey going toward the NFL, JLS_IX, and if you miss this interview, at all in its entirety, NFLDraftWarRoom.com/interviews. Great series to get involved with. So, on the 24th episode, Jimmy Logan Simpson will be joining us tomorrow. We will have Vince Melee, wide receiver from Washington. Really big guest for us, so check that out tomorrow. It should be normal time, 11 o'clock. Usually Fridays, we try to get earlier. But he will join us 11 o'clock, the usual scheduled time. Excuse me, I've got a whole bunch of crud in my throat, but I'm trying to get rid of it. Jimmy should be joining us shortly. Like I said, a really humble kid
in the locker room, and he's a slot receiver. There's a lot of guys in the NFL. It's hard to put actually a comparison on him, but we'll talk to him very soon about his journey going forward into the NFL. So, like I said, if you missed any of these interviews in their entirety, we've got 23 great episodes up there, 24 very soon. Check them out. Give them some support. Yesterday, I had Christian Covington on. It was an outstanding interview. We had a great time. I've had Steven Nelson, Mighty Mouse. We had him on last week. Great interview there. And guys like Aaron Wilmer, Jonathan Archie, Spencer Lynn, just a whole bunch of great guys I've had over in the last few weeks. So Jimmy will be joining us here shortly. And like I said, if you want to follow his NFL journey going forward on Twitter, JLS, those are all caps, _IX. So this is our 23rd episode. Tomorrow will be our 25th. Or today is our 24th, tomorrow will be our 25th. So without further ado, I would love to bring our special guest on for the night, Mr. Jimmy Simpson. How are you, sir?
How's it going?
I'm a little stopped up. I'm trying to keep my sanity because right now my nose isn't cooperating. But I'm doing pretty good other than that. So how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right.
I know you're really busy with classes and getting ready for the grind for the NFL journey. I know it's a big grind, and I know every day you're trying to get better. And I've told our listeners a little bit about you, what school you came from, your height and weight, your Twitter tag for them to give you some support. And going forward with that, I told them also about a little bit about your game, but we'll talk more about your game in the shadow comparison segment. So without further ado, I'm just going to go straight into the questions, unless you have something you want to bring up early on.
No, sir. Go ahead.
All right, Jimmy. Tell me about your experience going from high school to college. You know, there's a lot of transition. Sometimes there's a scary point, but how did high school prepare you for the college grind, and why did you decide your school at Hardin-Simmons?
Well, I guess as far as preparing me, I went to a bigger high school with a really good, really athletic program in general, but a really good football program. Had great coaches. Went to Midway High School. It's in Waco, Texas. So I went to a good high school. I faced a lot of really good talent growing up. So that definitely helped me out and prepared me, being at, you know, playing at the high level in high school. And then as well as my coaches being, I was blessed to have some great coaches throughout high school, especially my senior year. So I'd say that's really what prepared me. Then just holding me to a high standard and holding us to a high standard, this being such a good program. And then as far as choosing Hardin-Simmons, I actually ended up choosing it pretty late. I was planning on going somewhere bigger, and I hadn't even called Hardin-Simmons back originally, because I was pretty much set on going to a different school. And I had a friend here that I had actually played with in high school. He was a little older than me. And he called me. I didn't even know he was going here. I hadn't talked to him in a while. He called me and, you know, asked me if I had been getting calls. And I said, well, yeah, I've been getting calls. I'm already decided on going somewhere else. And he convinced me to come down he said, if nothing, you'll just be hanging out with me for a day, but at least come check it out. So I went to Abilene and, you know, hung out with him for a day, met the coaches, met some players, and did the whole campus visit deal. And I was actually really shocked with, I was planning on going to a bigger school, Sam Houston State is where I was pretty much set on going. Coach DeBess was the offensive coordinator there at the time. And I was actually pretty shocked by Hardin-Simmons. I showed up, and I think between the winning tradition here and the caliber of players that they had here is what really shocked me. I was meeting some guys that were, one, really big, and I was watching them on film as well, and they were really talented. And that kind of shocked me, because I was under the impression of a stereotypical D3 program that, you know, it's just a bunch of guys that love the game but aren't very good. I think that's what a lot of people see D3 as. But when you're at a top-tier program, Hardin-Simmons, UMHB, you know, Mount Union, Whitewater, all those bigger D3 programs you've heard of before, it's a whole different game. It's not your typical D3, stereotypical D3 program. So I was shocked by that. And then as well as the coaches and the type of people they have here that really care about you on and off the field, on a personal level as well as an athletic level. And so I was actually really, really taken aback by that and shocked. And I went on one more visit to Sam Houston. By the time I was leaving that next weekend, leaving Sam Houston, I called and committed on the way back.
You know, I think it's so important during the recruiting process that, you know, you pick a school that you fall in love with, not just something that looks best for you, even though you want somebody that you know is going to be definitely comfortable for you. Tell me about your relationship with the head coach. I was about to say Jesse Burleson, but that was your wide receiver coach.
Jesse Burleson,
yes,
is my head coach. Trent Barton is my receivers coach.
Trent Barton, okay. I don't know why I wrote that down wrong. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Jesse Burleson is the head coach. I'm really close with both of them. Coach Barton is my receivers coach. He was a graduate assistant for for a while. He'd been there for he'd been with the program for a long time, and he actually just got hired on full time as the receivers coach this past season, and he's doing a great job. I couldn't think of anyone else better to do it. He does a great job, and he did a great job this past year. Really close with him, as well as Coach Burleson. Coach Burleson is one of those guys that, you know, you see it, you think of a head coach, but he's extremely, extremely caring, and he's one of those guys that is, he pays a lot of attention to his players as far as on a personal level, and really cares about them outside of just football. He's one of those guys that even as a freshman, I mean, I did play as a freshman, but even with that, I was able to, I could go in. His office is always open. I go in, kind of tap on the door and say, "Hey, what's up?" And I don't even have to talk about football to him. I can sit down and talk about whatever. He's one of those kind of guys. So I've been really close with him for a long time, and it'll probably always be that way.
There's something that stands out with me and you that you, that I've seen on film, stuff I've read about you. I noticed you play in the slot. You know, you're a leader for this team. And what was the moment that you stepped up to be a leader in the locker room? Guys looked to you for, you know, advice, or the guys looked for you for motivational camaraderie. When did it click for you to become a leader in the locker room? And, you know, I know that you're very well respected in the locker room. Tell me when that moment clicked.
I don't know if it ever was really, really one moment coming in. I'll always say that being a leader is not a necessarily a title. It's an action. It's an example that you set. It's not a title you're given or a position you're given. And I think really coming in, even as a freshman, I think it's kind of been something gradual. I came in and I've always been somebody that I was going to try to lead by example, especially being younger. I didn't come in and try to take anything as far as, you know, taking over everything. So it wasn't something that was right away. But I think it's been, you know, it was always just a gradual, gradual build as far as, you know, gaining respect from new people, showing up as a freshman through my senior year. I also have always said that every great leader is a great follower, and so I was blessed with the opportunity to be able to come in and learn from. You know, really good leaders and some not so good, and I think that is what has helped me and continues to help me is being able to follow and lead by example when I need to, and then learn how to, as I got older, learn how to speak and learn how to address different people in different situations. So I wouldn't say that I had a specific moment. I mean, obviously, I was named captain my senior year, one of the captains, but that I don't know if that would be considered a moment that I gained respect or people started looking to me for anything. And it was just something kind of gradual. And I, like I said, I believe that it's not necessarily a position or a title. It's more of an action. So that was something that, like I said, was gradual over the 4 years that I've been here. I've always been, I guess, my freshman through senior year. We have a deal in the off season that we call leadership council, and it's, you know, five or six guys on it. So it's somewhat like, it's not necessarily captains, but it's, you know, what we call leadership council, and it's voted on every year, and I've been on that since I was a freshman. And then obviously my senior year, I was fortunate enough, and, you know, to be named captain.
I think it's so important to, you know, be a leader in the locker room. It definitely helps with the evaluation process. Has there been any alumni? I know that your school is actually rich in alumni history. I mean, there's been some very, very good players to come out of Hardin-Simmons. Mm-hmm. You know, most of them have passed away because, you know, they're a lot older. And right. The game was a little bit different than there's even a Hall of Famer that, you know, played center. And tell me if there's been any alumni to come back to the school to give you any advice with the grind going forward. Is there any guys that have any coaches that are in the league today or a CFL or anybody that's in the professional ranks that's come back to give words of advice to help you out going forward?
Not necessarily in the as far as alumni or anything. I mean, I do have, you know, alumni that are helping me out and then giving me advice. Our strength coach, our head strength coach here, Hardin-Simmons, his name's Hank Hornsby. He is a defensive lineman, defensive end here. I guess his last year would have been the year before I came. It was definitely the year after, or year before I showed up here was his last season, but he had the opportunity to go through the same process and do one of the regional combines. I guess that might have been one of the first couple of years they had started those. Do a regional combine. He actually did. He made it to the super regional. Had some looks from CFL teams. He ended up not going. He had some other things that he had decided that he wasn't gonna wait. And he took a position. So he never ended up going. But he's been through that whole process. So he's been a big part of my training. Obviously, he's the one that's him and our assistant strength coach Brian Ellis have been training me. So they've offered a lot of help. Brian has been with some NFL teams with the Chargers and different things like that with strength training. So he's been with, I guess, an intern. He's held positions with strength teams with the Chargers, and I want to say one other team maybe. But he's a GA for Hank right now. So they're training me. They're offering a lot of help. Help as far as, you know, what to expect and how to approach things. And other than that, I've got some friends that I know that they're helping me out, as well as the coaches. Coaches are being a big help, being a lot of support, as well as my family. So
it's always important to have, you know, good relationships with coaching staff. And, you know, if you have a mentor figure going forward, it seems like you do have a good one and, you know, someone that definitely knows your games ins and out. Little fun fact, you know, Clyde Turner, or Bulldog Turner, if listeners are probably not familiar with him, he was a Hall of Famer that in the NFL that actually played for Hardin-Simmons. He played a long time ago. He was drafted by the Bears. I think he was drafted in about 1940. So it was a long time ago when football was young. Mm-hmm. I think he was in the league for 13 years. So Jimmy's not really coming from a school with no product coming out. This put out a lot of product over the years, and they do have a Hall of Famer. So that's just a little fun fact. Let's move into the shadow comparison segment. We're already – like almost at the 10-minute mark left, which, you know, I don't know if we'll squeeze everything in, but we'll try. Tell me about who you compare your game to, or who you mold your game around, and then I'll give my take on who I've watched film on. And, you know, I've watched film on you this afternoon, and I've made my grade of who you remind me of. So tell our listeners who you mold your game around or who you compare your game around.
I guess I'd have to say Julian Edelman, just because that's my favorite player. I have a lot of respect for him, how he approaches the game as well as how he plays it. So that's probably why, honestly, other than him being, you know, a smaller NFL player. I don't view him as small in any by any means, but as far as the NFL goes, he'd be considered a small player. So. being a receiver and punt returner, and him being my favorite player. I like to watch him and see how he does things. He's an awesome person to pay attention to and to learn from. I'd really like to be able to learn from him some more. But yeah, I guess that would be who I pay attention to the most and model my game after. I've been compared to a guy named Maureen Corbett. He played for the Jets a long time ago by an analyst. I guess that he told me that a few weeks ago, but I don't know a whole lot about Wayne, but obviously I know that he was very successful, very good player. But I would have to say Julian Edelman would be who I pay the most attention to.
Julian's quite an athlete. You know, he's definitely burst into the scene even more so now after a great season. I did think about comparing you to Wayne Corbett. So, you know, it's definitely out there. Somebody that a lot of people aren't familiar with who had a pretty good NFL career was Mike Furry from Northern Iowa. Actually, I've got a personal connection with Furry. I actually talked with him today, actually, on the phone. But, you know, that's who you remind me of is Mike Furry. He wasn't the fastest, but he showed great hands over the middle. He's tough, and you run great routes. You know how to get open, and you're going to move the chains. Now, I'm not knocking on your speed. It's not blazing fast, but you know how to get open and use those hands naturally. So, you know, I like your game a lot, like Mike Furry. And Julian Edelman was definitely in my mind, and Corbett was too. You know, those three guys definitely were in my mind when I was watching your film. So, you know, I think it's great that someone else saw the same thing I did. Usually I try to bring a different ability. Furry is about your same size. Corbett's about your same size, and definitely Edelman with his ability. So, you know, I see all three definitely working out. Let's move into the three wish segment. Oh, no problem. I don't mean to rush things along, but since we're about at the 7-minute mark, I still want to put a bow on top of it and make it finish this off nice. I'm your genie. You found me in a bottle, and I'm granting you three wishes to wish for whatever you want in the world. The only thing you can't wish for is to be instantly drafted or signed on to an NFL team or CFL, AFL, so on and so forth. But you can wish for anything else you want.
That's not a common question. Let me see. I would say, I guess my first one would be the ability to, or the chance, the opportunity to get in front of, you know, whether it's a, you know, GM or a coach or someone like that, and then be able to see me for more than just, you know, a couple minutes, you know, run one rep or something like that, you know, actually get to know my game, get to know me personally, and what I can offer outside of just a quick look at, okay, well, he jumps this or he runs that. That'd probably be my first wish, is just to be able to get in front of somebody and really be able to spend a little time in front of them on and off the field. Second, third wish. I'd say a big wish, this doesn't even have to do with football, is just,
that's fine.
I've always wanted to, I want to own a ranch someday. I want to own a hunting ranch. So, you know, hopefully someday that would happen. That'd be awesome. And then third, I guess, just because we're running out of time and I can't think of anything else, I would say the chance to get to meet and learn and do some workouts with Julian Edelman, that would be pretty cool. I think he's, like I said, I really respect the way he approaches the game. You know, the things he did to get in, I've heard he's played both sides of the ball, different things like that coming into the league. I think that he's a hard worker, and I think getting to learn from him would be awesome.
Three great wishes. I really like the ranch one. I've never had someone actually wish for something like that. I think that's pretty cool. Being with your favorite NFL star, I think that's even cooler. You know, it would be anyone's dream to meet their, I would say, idol or somebody they look up to. And, you know, I think it's a good wish that you say you want to get exposure and, you know, scouts to come out and see you, someone to actually come to your pro day and so on and so forth. I think those are three great wishes. So with the last segment of the show, let's talk about selling yourself to a general manager. Who's your favorite team and why? If you have a favorite NFL team.
I don't necessarily have a favorite NFL team. I'm more of a player kind of guy.
Okay, let's go to the Patriots since we're on Julian. Bill Belichick wants to bring you in for a private workout. You had a really great day. You ran a 4.4. You caught every ball coming your way. You talked with the scouts a little bit about your personal life and everything like that. Bill Belichick's brought you in his office, and he looks across the table from you and says, "Why is Jimmy Logan Simpson a good fit for the New England Patriots? You have 2 minutes to tell me why you're a great fit."
Because I'm the kind of guy that.
Oh, I said you have as long as you want, but you know, I'm just saying in general, you know, sell yourself in a short amount of time.
I'm the kind of guy that's going to come in and do whatever's needed. I'm gonna put my nose down and I'm gonna work. Whatever is needed of me, I'm going to do, and my view is whatever is in front of me, I'm not worried about what's next. Whatever's in front of me is going to be what I do my absolute best at. I'm the kind of guy that's going to be more valuable for you in a leadership role and with my mind than I even ever will be on the field, in my view. And I don't say that in a way of knocking anything I can do on the field, but in a way of, I think no matter what, I'm always, my mind and my mentality and my leadership ability is always going to outweigh the on-the-field things or the tangible things, I would say. So I would say that's what I bring to the table, and that's why I think that I would be valuable to a team or someone, is because I've got a whole lot more than just, you know, okay, I can run fast, I can catch the football. I think I've got the ability to be a leader and the ability to do whatever is needed and not worry about specifics or what am I getting or anything like that. I'm gonna do whatever is needed of me, and I'm gonna do it to the best of my ability.
You hit on a lot of good answers there. I really like how, you know, you brought all your abilities together to say that you're a well-rounded player, you're a leader in the locker room. It's something that teams really look at. And believe it or not, sports fans, draft fans, we're at an end of another episode. I would love to keep talking. If you want to check out Jimmy on Twitter, give him some love going forward to his toward his NFL journey, CapJLS_IX. That's how you can check him out. Give him some love and support going forward to the NFL. Jimmy, thanks for coming on tonight. Sorry we couldn't talk longer.
Oh, no, I really appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem. Let's talk soon. And I really wish you the best going forward.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. God bless.
That was Jimmy Logan Simpson of Hardin-Simmons University on the 24th episode of Inside the War Room. Really great kid, great hands. See him, Birdie, Wayne Corbett. Thank you for joining us tonight on another edition of Inside the War Room. Take care, everyone.